hits it a mile high and deep. Is this number 300? Yes! Vladimir Guerrero's 300th career home run.
Slugger Vladimir Guerrero is looking to make the Baseball Hall of Fame in his second year of eligibility. He's just one of three unanimous choices by the Globe Sports Writers eligible to vote. It's Tuesday, January 9th. I'm Chad Finn. Chris Gasper is on assignment. Welcome to Season Ticket. Well, this is going to be a fun one. We're talking Baseball Hall of Fame voting with two guys who've cast their ballots. Dan Shaughnessy, sports columnist here at the Boston Globe, and Bob Ryan, columnist emeritus. Welcome, guys. I have a feeling I'm not going to be saying a whole lot during
this
one.
Get out of
the way. But, Bob, right off the bat, you have seven guys. Dan has three. You have three overlap. Who are those three guys?
Well, those three guys who overlap are Vladimir Guerrero, Chipper Jones, and Jim Thome. Those are the three that overlap. Dan had a very selective, restricted, hard-ass, I should say, ballot.
No tomato cans on his ballot.
No. Dan thinks it shouldn't be a Hall of the Very Good, and the problem is it is and has been for over 70 years. And so that ship sailed a long time ago.
Yeah, well, I forced myself to say no to Scott Rolen, if that's okay with you.
No, Rolen, I didn't vote for Rolen.
I kind of like Scott Rolen.
Yeah,
so.
I feel a little – I really have guilt complex more and more every year is Larry Walker. He's a tough one for me.
Did anyone ever say, gee – Larry Walker's coming to town. I gotta get tickets to that series.
Might have been in Montreal.
He spent
where nobody
his career
saw
in the National League. Not here they didn't. But he was good, and he was good. You know, two-way player. The guy was a great fielder, and not to mention the fact that he's a Canadian. But they deserve some representation too. No, that has nothing to do with anything, obviously. Anyway, the Hall of the Very Good thing, Dan, which I know you're clinging to. But come on, it's been the Hall of the Very Good since the. Veterans Committee screwed things up in the 40s.
Right, but only 38% of the people in the Hall of Fame were elected by the writers. So are we supposed to like lower our standards to accommodate the Veterans Committee and these other committees that put these people in?
Well, I don't know. You know, it's hard when you get into the if he's in, why isn't he in thing? And people.
That's what the whole thing's about.
Yeah, I mean, if he's in, why isn't he in? And how can Louis be denied when Catfish Hunter's in and Don Drysdale's in and so forth and now to me Schilling is a no brainer. But
well, let's going to get to that.
We'll get to him in a minute.
A man who used to have standards, Bob Ryan. Once told me that for every person that goes into the Hall of Fame, one should have to come out.
Yes, I did say that.
That would keep it really pure.
He's done his research,
I'd
Bob.
Like to do that. Dan, you're so right. And I used to say that. And I would still say that. But it's not – that's just a
no,
fantasy.
Don't be caving in to popularity and getting
fantasy.
Hurt on Twitter. Oh, they'll say mean things about me on Twitter if I don't vote for this guy.
No. That's how I work.
Too bad.
Well, have you ever been a bigger ballot guy? I mean, you've got three guys here, Chipper – clearly a no-brainer. Probably going to be one of the highest percentage
90 plus
guys.
Easy.
Yeah, at least.
Of course.
Jim Thome. And then Vladimir Guerrero, who I don't think he's a no-brainer to everybody. Maybe he should be. But, you called him a five-tool guy. He slipped a little bit defensively. He was a DH at the end of his career. Was he that obvious to you?
Absolutely.
And the four guys that Bob has on his belt that you don't, did you consider any of them?
Well, first of all, in Vladdy, I mean, you know, his career, what's he, 316, 320, some ridiculous thing with over 400 home runs and the speed and the throwing arm. I know there's some metrics of his base running and his UZR, whatever you want to call it. But hey, your eyes know what to tell you.
It's range factor, Dan.
He was signed out of Dominican because of they saw him throw and run. They signed him. He's 16 years old.
Montreal.
That was the level of his skill set. And they taught the rest. Obviously, the great bad ball hitter, the Yogi Berra kind of guy. Like that. So anyway, I'm pretty sure Pedro did not go to the Hall of Fame ceremony last year because Vladdy did not get it in the first ballot. He thought that was a wrong, and the Dominican people are very proud of the guys who are in there. That wrong will be righted this year. I don't think it's going to be close. I think that what interests me with the trending on the votes was that Trevor Hoffman missed by a handful of votes last year.
Yeah, he got 74%.
And on those early polls, and there's this, the guy who takes
Ryan Thibodeau's ballot tracker.
Right. What's he up to, like 34% he's got in now or something like that? But
Hoffman's at 77.7 as of yesterday. The three guys you talked about look like they're all going to get in. Now, this trend's high because the people who don't reveal their ballot tend to be ones
that's what
that
I
do
want to tell you. What
things.
What percent of the ballots does he have now? 34%?
Hoffman? No, 77.
No.
It's 171, whatever percentage.
Oh, well, that's
that
getting
is.
Up
you know,
there.
The closer thing is one of the more interesting aspects of voting for the Hall of Fame, voting for anything. You know how I feel about it in general, that they should not be eligible for the Cy Young. It was instituted for starting pitching. I understand
MVP.
That was an MVP. MVP, all right, but not Cy Young, because it's supposed to be for starting pitchers, and that's that. And the save has been totally devalued. The save is a joke. One inning, three out save with a three-run lead is a joke. And I loved I'd like to have them all broken down and find out how many real saves people had. I just don't buy Trevor Hoffman. I'm sorry.
No, I'm with you on that. And
I am too.
I think he's not as much of a lock as I thought, because he was like six votes shy last year.
Yeah.
And I'm not seeing the spike, because as you said, Chad, that tracking poll, I know he's over 75% now, but that thing is suppressed. As we've referenced, the early numbers of the returns come in, it is not reflective of how that ends up, because everybody's trends go down as more ballots are disclosed.
It's a reference to what you said earlier, which people who are afraid of revealing their ballot to take the heat on social media. And so the guys, again, that have sort of the strange ballots are the ones who...
Older voters, less social media conscious, and less likely or willing to...
You wrote about what Bob just said. Gossage you voted for, Suter, and Mariano Rivera, I think, was the third one, right? All distinctive guys. Rivera's the best ever. Suter was the forkball pitcher, and Gossage came in the sixth or seventh.
Right. I mean, guys who pitch multiple innings, Gossage has his own category there. But Bob's right with the 5-2 game, guy comes in to get the three outs, the Craig Kimbrell saves, whatever. And Hoffman piled up a lot of those, and no postseason record, which is not his fault necessarily. But I'm not there on him. But I'm just wondering if he's definitely a lock to get in.
But
because this is going to be a big class if he gets in, because you've already got Morris and Trammell, the veterans gave us.
Wouldn't it be historic, Chad, if he were not to get in, having come as close
and
as he did and not get in?
It would
he may be
historic.
The guy that came the closest to ever getting
there's
in and
only
then not
like,
getting in.
There's like five or six guys that got over 60 that never got in.
Well, one of the things that's hurting him is you look at the statistical comparison of their career, other than the massive save total Hoffman has, Billy Wagner might have been a better closer, and he's not getting anywhere near the Hall of Fame.
I'm sorry. All right, Dan. The one thing that jumped out at me in reading your explanation is we have a distinctly different version of what Edgar Martinez was.
Yes.
Because in my mind, he was without question, the most respected hitter, right hand for sure, in the American League for that 10-year period or so. And you say, and I quote, not because he was, but simply because he falls a little shy, is a dangerous hitter. I think he was an extremely dangerous hitter, and I wouldn't think there are too many guys in the American League and over those period of time that pitchers would say, on the list of guys I don't want to face in any major situation, Edgar Martinez I thought would be very high on that list.
You guys were very different on this. You said he was the most dangerous hitter for a decade, and you said he was never anybody a ticket to see.
He was third best player in his team, which wasn't his fault necessarily, but he's playing in a team with Ken Griffey Jr., Alex Rodriguez. And again, no one ever said, Edgar's coming to town. I got to go to that series this weekend, that kind of thing. He's just not that kind of hitter. I thought a little bit short for power numbers. He's basically a corner guy. I don't hold the DH thing against any hitter. That does not bother me. I don't, whether it's Ortiz or Vladdy or Edgar, that doesn't bother me. It's a position, and you hit, you deserve it. But not as much of a home run threat bother me a little bit. I will say I'm close to cracking on Edgar, and I know I've only got 1 year left. My son is killing me on Edgar. It's like
pro-Edgar.
Edgar, and there's a lot of love for Edgar. And I'll tell you, his trending, he's ahead of Hoffman in that trending, which is a big leap from last year.
He's a sabermetric darling, and I'm with him, too.
That.
I think what hurt him was because he didn't play a position well, he was a third baseman, he got a late start in his career. It was like Boggs, except even later, where he wasn't a regular until he was 27 years old when they finally realized what they had.
I'm close to cracking an Edgar. I will give you that.
Okay.
And it's a very legit. I certainly would not impugn anyone who's voting for Edgar. Good for you.
How about another guy that's a little bit controversial here? And I think you had him on your ballot. You did not. Omar Vizquel.
Oh, yeah.
11 gold gloves. Great defensive
shortstop.
He'll
never get in. And because
way down.
You're talking to a guy who voted for Mark Belanger. And
did you really?
Yes, I did. And
did you?
No.
He was the best grass. He's still the best grass shortstop I've ever seen. And there was a big distinct difference, obviously, between grass shortstops and turf shortstops. And Ozzie's the best, maybe. But this guy was unbelievable fielder. And somehow or other sneaked in 2,700-plus hits. And I know he's got no OPS. And I know he had no power. And he was overshadowed. I'll give you a historical for instance. And this guy finally got in. At his position, overshadowed by demigods, and he finally got
Trammell.
In. And going farther back, Richie Ashburn. Richie Ashburn's heyday was the 50s. He was up against Mays, Mantle, and Snyder. and also Gus Bell. And it took a long, long time. He won two batting titles during that era. He was a consummate leadoff man. He used to lead the league in putouts. People didn't realize this. They thought it was Mays. No, it was Mitchie Ashburn running all over from left field foul line to right field foul line and catching fly balls away from his left fielder and right fielder more than any player in baseball. He finally got in. I don't know that this will be true if people will come around eventually on Vizquel or some a veterans committee will finally do it. But
here's why. Because it helps to be dominant at your position in the time you play. That's hard to do if there's great people at your position in the time you play. That did happen to Vizquel. You got him out there. I mean, Nomar was.
Well, I'm just saying, but the one historical
Jeter,
reference, Ashburn
A-Rod,
was not.
I understand.
You know, yeah, he's the and so that's a parallel. I will.
He didn't have a high peak either. He didn't have that stretch of 5 or 6 years, even like Nomar did, where he was one of the dominant players.
If you look at
Vizquel,
he only played in like 3 or 4 All-Star games, and I know people.
Three.
It was hard.
People hoot in the All-Star game, but that's still, you know, like 24 years, you're an All-Star 3 times. Everybody goes to the All-Star game now. I mean, that's like, how dominant were you?
You like distinctions, and I'm with you on Suter, by the way, because a lot of people think it was one of the worst selections in history.
I'm one of those people.
Okay, but, you know, the only thing reason I can justify it is the fact that he popularized the pitch, and that's a little shaky. Vizquel's the best 45-year-old shortstop who ever lived.
Well, there you go.
that's quirky enough. The thing about Vizquel is he was never higher than 16th in the MVP voting either. He was probably sixth among Indians.
It's a little Bobby Ryan, little Bobby stamping his feet and trying to show off vote, okay? I'll be honest, okay?
All right, we'll get to a few more guys on your ballot and a couple of players who are not. I want to ask you about one more before we go to the break here, though, Bob. Mike Mussina, I thought he would be one of your guys, Dan, because we saw him over and over and over again in the American League. Bob, you have him on your 270 wins.
Not originally, but I was persuaded. I came around to a way of thinking that I did not originally subscribe to on Mike Mussina, and I vote for Mike Mussina now.
Yeah, the Baltimore block's big on him. I've talked to Palmer about him. He's all in on him. And it's a lot of wins, all pitched the American League East, a time with a lot of hitting going on. So it's formidable. Doesn't bother me the 120 win season or no 20 win season.
In his last year. I mean,
that's a great thing. I mean,
doesn't bother me too much. It was going away. But it just, and again, it's kind of that big game thing. You know, we'd all take Tiant, we'd take Schilling, we'd take a number of guys. So it's the big game thing. You just never thought of him as that guy. I could be talked into him over enough years, I suppose.
Well, you know where I remember Mussina as a big game guy is coming in relief in game 7 and 03 after Clemens,
That saved the game.
Why do I have the stupid memory of
I was there. I was there for his 14 or 15 strikeout game in the playoffs in 97.
I was there for his near-perfect game when Carl Everett screwed it up. The one good thing Carl Everett did, even that was bad.
Don't remind me.
All right, Carl Everett is not going to be on anybody's ballot anytime soon. But after the break, we'll talk more about the Baseball Hall of Fame ballots, including those guys neither Bob nor Dan voted for. Stay with us. Welcome back. If you like season tickets, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribing is the best way to make sure you get the latest episode as soon as it's available. Back now with Dan Shaughnessy and Bob Ryan, and we're talking about the Globe's votes for the Baseball Hall of Fame. This year's class will be announced on Wednesday, January 24th, but we're letting you know who the Globe writers voted for right now. We touched on everybody you guys both voted for, Tomy, Chipper Jones, Vladimir Guerrero. We touched on three of the guys on Bob's ballot that Dan didn't vote for. Now we've got one who's probably the most contentious topic around here in terms of a Hall of Fame candidate, Curt Schilling. Bob, you have him on your ballot. Why do you have him on your ballot?
Because I think that the only time he wasn't not just good but great was when he was injured. And if you check his career, I think his body of work was astonishing. He struck out 300 for two different teams. His postseason is one of the best postseason resumes of post-World War II. I just think he was a great pitcher. And I don't understand not voting for Curt Schilling.
Well, let me try to enlighten you on this. I've been around the map on him. And you can certainly vote for him, and it's certainly a fair thing. But my friend Bob Ryan today wrote a ridiculous sentence. He said, his right-wing bluster has to be the reason people won't vote for him. I can't come up with any other intellectually defensible explanation. That is disappointing to me, Bob Ryan. You got to be kidding me.
No.
I mean,
digging in.
Less than half of the people who vote have voted for him in his 6 years on the ballot. So half, you think that 250 people every year don't vote for him because of his political leanings? Give me a break. It's only come to light in the last 2 years what a nut job he is. People have been voting on this thing for 6 years, and you can easily make the case to not vote for Curt Schilling, who was with four teams by the time he was 32 years old, was kicked around second half of his career, much better the first half of his career, and if we're going to get into comps, he won fewer games than Jerry Royce. You know, 260 wins for a starting pitcher. You know that's you got to be like Koufax.
I told you why.
Yeah. Okay.
Or Pedro.
He won. His ERA is comparable to Kevin Brown. It's actually higher than Kevin Brown's, and I think I could throw Doc Ellis in there too. His strikeouts per season is less than Mickey Lolich. You know, so
wait a minute.
And I don't want to hear about 300 strikeouts in an era when everyone's striking out. You know, that's an inflated stat. You know that. Now, I'll give you the 11-2 in the postseason. You'd want to give him the ball in that game. I get that. His walk strikeout ratio, one of the best of the century. I get that. And, you know, 216 wins, it clutch, all that stuff. But the notion that the only reason to not vote for him, no, he's a bubble guy. He's a bubble candidate like Tony Oliva or Louis Tiant. He's a legitimate bubble guy, and he is using this political crap to say that's why people are not voting for him, and it's nonsense. I mean, it certainly suppresses him a little bit, and I have not chosen to honor him the last 2 years because he advocated lynching journalists 2 years ago and called Adam Jones a liar out of nowhere last year. This is an honor. I honor guys to go to the Hall of Fame. I'm not honoring Shill as long as he's going to be a menace to society, but it has nothing to do with his political beliefs.
Well, but you're not honoring because he's because he's a jerk. You just said that.
Part. If you're a bubble guy, you better not be a menace to society.
Because he is, you know.
He's a bubble guy.
You got to be Ty Cobb to be a jerk to get in. Is that what it is?
Again, admit he's a bubble guy, please.
Oh, clearly he's a bubble guy in the eyes of
then
people, but
I
don't
say
understand. But no, he's a bubble guy. He has proven to be a bubble guy, and I do not understand that, is what I am saying.
I just gave you an intellectually defensible explanation for not voting for
him.
Well,
I'm giving you the explanation.
Mickey Lolich, Doc Ellis, Jerry Royce, Kevin Brown.
I'm going to start. Well, Kevin Brown was a pretty damn good pitcher.
That guy's love Kevin Brown.
Is he on the ballot? Let's go. Bob will vote for him.
But he's not a Hall of Famer, but he's a good pitcher.
Must be because of his politics.
Well, you buried one of the leads in there very casually.
Postseason.
The strikeout walk ratio.
I know that.
It's fantastic.
I know it is.
And it matters.
He's a strike machine of the century.
All right. So I tried to do a little research in this in terms of this injury thing, and I am going to stand on what I said.
A young player.
I think the only time that during his career in Philadelphia.
He sucked in Baltimore. He sucked in Houston.
No, he didn't.
So he was with five teams by the time he was 32. I misstated that.
Philadelphia and Arizona.
He was tremendous in Arizona. He was tremendous here. And the only time he wasn't good, he was when he was hurt.
How many Hall of Famers with five teams by the time of 32? None?
None. No, but he's it's okay. There's a first time for everything.
All right. Well, don't tell me that there's no intellectual argument other than his politics.
I'm sorry. I think that this case is very evident to me, totally evident to me. I just cannot bring myself to believe that there's any other reason that someone
I just
vote
gave
for.
You I know, 10 minutes
and
worth.
And I know, and we're going to have to agree to disagree.
Right.
I'm giving you the Bill Russell. I'm sending it back. No.
Kurt Schilling causes arguments no matter whenever you're talking about him, no matter who you're with. You look at, Schilling is tracking at 66.3%. He's not getting in, but he's tracking higher than Roger Clemens, who, based on statistics, merits, Cy Young awards.
But I want to take a quick 20 here. I don't want to. What we just had.
22nd time out?
Yes. Okay. Is what we should have all the time, which is
meaning
a baseball argument.
Yeah.
Dan presented a case
that's
based
a great
on
point.
Baseball. Accomplishment, baseball statistics, baseball feel, baseball sight, everything. Baseball.
Right.
And nothing to do with
no tinfoil, none of that.
Nothing to do with PEDs. No. See, this is what I love. I love the Jack Morris argument, the Omar Vizquel argument, the Kurt Schilling argument about the baseball part. The other part was extraneous, but I do think it's pertinent to us for some people. But I want that out there on this podcast in case we didn't really specifically get there when we finally talk about the PED people.
But what stinks is you really don't know. I mean, you guys have those two guys that you're both voting for, and they're clear-cut Hall of Famers. We don't know what they did from 1995 to 2010. We have no idea, and that's you can speculate, and you'll probably be right in a lot of cases. But I guarantee you, there are guys in Cooperstown already who people think are clean. Who were outright dirty.
Sure.
It just has to be the case.
Or not necessarily outright, but had help, had artificial help. Yes, I'm sure there were plenty that we don't know exactly who and what the source of that artificial help was.
So what happens when it comes out, if it eventually does, that some guy who is a truly revered 95% on
Willie
the
Mays,
Hall of Fame.
For example.
Right.
Joe DiMaggio, how's that? See, I mean, no, really. That he's in terms of baseball, he's pristine for sure. You know, but anyway, what happens? going to be a lot of column writing, a lot of soul searching.
A lot of hand-wringing.
A lot of chatter, a lot of podcasting going to go on if they catch somebody. Yeah, and this is what frustrates me. I mean, it has taken so much of the fun of doing this out of it for me. It's wearing me out. I know people say, oh, there are bigger problems in life. Absolutely, we have bigger problems in life. But in this particular little corner of our life, it is not the fun part that it used to be because this thing has overshadowed what we just had, which was the baseball argument.
Will you guys ever vote for Clemens or Bonds? Dan?
I don't think so. I mean, again, I came close to coming off the steroid wall last year, and I was surprised at the amount of support there was to stay up there on it, because I know it's not popular, and certainly not popular with young people. And a lot of people voting now didn't even cover at the time of Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa. And Bob and I were there, and we both feel tricked by what went on in 98. And,
God, that was 20 years ago.
Yeah, it's going to be 20th anniversary.
Wow.
And I know it's unfair, and it gets into cherry picking cheaters and the whole thing, and it's definitely eroding. I believe Clemens and Bonds will probably get in, and you know, a guy like Kevin Kernan, who I respect a lot, said, "You know what? Baseball didn't police it. I'm not going to do it for him. I'm voting for him."
May I quote from the newspaper today? And this is quote: "I've been saying for years that someday I might wake up and say, quote, the hell with it. I can't tell which juiced pitchers pitch to which juiced batters. I give up. I'm letting them all in," unquote. Who's wrote that? Oh, I wrote that. I've been saying that now. That's my mantra. That's my catch. I've been saying that for 4 or 5 years now. And that day hasn't come yet. And yet, the answer to your question, Chad, it's conceivable. Yes, it is conceivable that I will cave.
I'll have a vote in 7 or 8 years. And when I do, I would vote for those guys. But it's just because I'm from the museum standpoint.
Well,
that I feel like
this.
There's a gap in baseball history there.
So when you do that, what about, I know you won't have the opportunity. Sammy Sosa, would you vote for him?
No.
See, that's just it. You got 600 home runs. So if you're going to say, if I ever come down off the wall, they're all going in. McGwire, Sosa, I'm not going to start saying, well, this guy was
great beforehand. I know that's what I do too.
Yet another quick 20. If he had been.
You're running out of timeouts, you know.
Rafael Palmeiro. What did you think about Rafael Palmeiro? Would you have voted for Rafael Palmeiro?
Yes, I would.
It's funny because I one day I woke up and said, God, look at his numbers. Those are Cooperstown numbers. And yet not for – to go back to what you were talking about. Yeah, I know when you wrote Potter Stewart thing. Mm-hmm. Not for 1 millisecond did I ever think of Rafael Palmeiro.
I was going
to
say, didn't that sneak up on you?
Yes,
all of a sudden
totally.
450
And then,
home
of course,
runs?
This is before – the finger point wave, all that. This is before that.
Yes, the image that brought him down.
And then he goes off the ballot. He's off.
All right, I want to ask
although he's coming back, so he's going to have a second life.
53 years old, Everybody can hit the fastball at that age. I want to ask you guys about a couple guys who have no chance of getting in. If there's someone who – Bob Holler voted for Johnny Damon. Mm. He based his argument on how important he was to the Red Sox breaking the curse. There are other guys in this ballot who are fantastic players who are going to get nowhere close to the Hall of Fame. One that jumps out to me. Johan Santana trending at 1.7%. He has three votes. For a 3 or 4 year stretch, he was the best pitcher in baseball.
It wasn't long enough.
I mean, me either, but I'd like to see him get some acknowledgement.
No. And by the way, with the Johnny Damon thing, all I can say to Bob is that's a perfect argument why he should be in the Red Sox Hall of Fame. But not
right.
I know he had the numbers. The numbers are impressive. Once again, it's not a matter of one thing ever for any of us who vote. It's a matter of a mixture of stats and feel and talking to people and respect and opinions and all that. And I just don't think he was a Hall of Famer, but he was a very nice player. There's that Hall of Very Good.
Dan, was there anything else you wanted to elaborate on?
Just
there?
For you war guys. You're a war guy, right?
No, I'm not a war guy. I think it is a tool that you can use to broaden the argument, but I would never, and I don't know anybody who would, maybe Keith Law, but who would base their entire argument on war.
Well, too many people, just using wars which it's some skull imploding formula of wins against.
Don't ask me to tell you how it's
wins
formulated.
Above replacement,
when they decide how to do it, then first come and see me, then I'll tell you to go to hell. But I can't even figure out what's the proper formula.
So two things. One is the notion that everybody wants to vote for 25 people, and I can't believe they're only letting me vote for 10 people. That has never crossed my mind. That is the purview of nitwits who just can't make a decision. They want everybody to like them. They want to be criticized and I want to vote for everybody. I just love everybody so much. I don't know what happened to the Hall of Fame. It's not a Hall of Very Good, like we say. And lastly, on you war people, war tells you that Bobby Abreu is higher than Yogi Berra. Lou Whitaker has a higher war than Reggie Jackson, and Jeff Bagwell has a higher war than Joe DiMaggio. I rest my case.
Well, on that count, I would vote for Lou Whitaker, but he's off the ballot after 1 year, so we can forget about that for a while. But that was a fantastic discussion, guys. We could probably go on for another hour, hour and a half, two hours all day. We are all done, Bob. You can read about who each of the eligible Globe staffers voted for online on the Globe.com sports section. Bob, you have your own podcast. You want to plug that real quick?
Yeah, Bob Ryan's Boston Podcast. I've been among the many distinguished guests I've had with Dan Shaughnessy, and it's available in all the usual ways, as you tell people that get your podcast, and at Bob Ryan Podcast. It's been a lot of fun. I'm enjoying it.
Thanks, Bob. Dan, anything you wanted to throw in there or plug?
No, but
your case is rested,
it's funny,
right?
When we did the podcast down at Wahlberg's in Hingham with Bob, we did the podcast, had a great time, and then we're done with the podcast. Then we sit down and have a few beers and sandwiches, and then the better podcast unfolds in front of our eyes. We're talking about the Hall of Fame. We're talking about the 10 greatest NBA players of all time, and we should have had the tape rolling then.
You can find Bob and Dan if you don't run into them after they're taping a podcast somewhere. You can find them on Twitter. Bob is at GlobeBobRyan, and Dan is at Dan_Shaughnessy. Bob and Dan, thanks for coming on Season Ticket.
You are welcome.
Thank you.
That's it for this edition of Season Ticket, a production of the Boston Globe and WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. If you've enjoyed the show, please tell a friend and leave us a review. I'm Chad Finn. We'll see you tomorrow.